was thinking, when I thought about the responsibility that he has as a pastor, I was an assistant pastor for about 17, 18 years, and I was a full-time pastor for about 7 years, but that 7 years, I never had the responsibility that he has here. And so I was thanking the Lord for the opportunity, and the Lord spoke to me and said, be thankful for that, but even be more thankful that your name is written down in heaven. And I thank the Lord for that. My name is written down in heaven. So I ask that you pray for me as we share from the word. I thank the Lord for my wife. She's been my cheerleader for quite a long time. And I thank the Lord for that. And she cheers too. We thank the Lord for Mary and all of you. I just thank the Lord for being here. I thank him for the opportunity for this season in my life to be here with the saints of God to share with them in whatever way he gives me an opportunity. If you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, I want to share with you what I believe the Lord has for us today. Luke chapter 15. I was going to read from verse 11 through 32, but for the sake of time, I'll pick up at the verse that we're going to be looking at to begin with, verse 25. We're going to cover verses 11 through 32, but I'm going to read beginning at verse 25 to 32. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what is going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I like to use for a subject, the other brother. The other brother. Jesus is on his way to the cross, and as he journeys in that direction, John 19:10 informs us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus teaches us about three things that were lost: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Jesus wants us to understand the truth that God loves sinners. He loves the lost enough to go after them in their lost condition, as evidenced by all three illustrations here in chapter 15. He loves the self-righteous sinner enough to tell them about their condition, which is why he told the parable to begin with. So often, Luke 15, when it's preached, you may hear about the lost sheep, you may hear about the lost coin, and the prodigal son. But it is rare when you hear anything about the other brother. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why that is? I believe we avoid this part of the story because our focus is on the emotional reunion between the father and the prodigal. I believe also that we avoid this portion of the passage because it hits a little too close to home. It may remind us of ourselves. I think there is a little, and maybe even a lot, of the other brother in each of us. As Jesus reaches the end of this parable, he is still talking about lost things. He is still dealing with the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees towards lost sinners. You read about that in verses 2 and 3. They said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." What is wrong with him? The other brother in this passage is a picture of a person who is involved in the things of God, but who has no real relationship with God. He was in the field. He is in a distant country in his heart. Verse 11 clearly states that this father had two sons, and both of them were lost. The younger son was lost in a distant country. The other brother was lost in the father's house. The younger son was a lost pleasure seeker. He lived for pleasure. The other brother was a lost moralist. He lived to maintain appearances. You see, there are two ways you can be lost. Break the rules and do as you please, like the younger brother, the younger son. And two, you can keep all the rules and be good, like the other brother. Both brothers were lost. So often we don't seem to get this because we equate being good with being saved. But if you are only being good to earn favor with God, you are lost. If you keep the rules so God will have to hear your prayers and bless you, you have missed the point. The gospel is not be good and you will be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is be saved and you will be good. You see, this passage should speak to at least two groups of people. The primary message is to those who are lost in sin and need to be saved. You may be a very religious person. You may be a church member. You may be a good moral person, but you have never been saved. God has a word for you today. This passage also has a message for people who are saved, but who have the same spirit and attitude as the other brother. You see, it speaks to people who are upset when God blesses his people. It speaks to people who do not like it when the prodigal sons and daughters come home. It speaks to people who refuse to rejoice over what God is doing, because it isn't being done their way. It speaks to people who like the other brother, who are like the other brother. And hopefully and prayerfully, God will point out something today that each of us can use. If God's word speaks to you today, just obey him and do what he says. The other brother, we read about, first of all, he had a respectability. Verse 25 says he was a leader. He is the older brother, and because of that, he is entitled to two-thirds of his father's possessions, according to Deuteronomy 21. Since his younger brother has already received his part of the inheritance, everything else belongs to the older brother. When his father dies, not only will he receive his father's possessions, he will also become the legal and religious head of the family. Much has been given to this young man, this other brother, already, and there is much more for him on the way. He is a blessed young man. Not only was he a leader, he was a laborer. When we first read about him, when we first discover him in our text, the Bible says he is in the field. He was busy doing his father's business, while his younger brother was somewhere in a distant country, partying and wasting money. He was working hard, and everything seemed to be going good between the father and the older son. You see, the other brother is a picture of the religious elite. They were also in a place of privilege. You see, they had God's law, and it appeared, at least outwardly, that they were walking according to the law. They looked good to others, but there was a real problem in their hearts. And you hear it in verse 2 and 3. They say, this man, Jesus, he is eating with sinners. He's eating with folk that are sinful. The problem was hidden from human view, but God could see it all. You see, they were religious, but they were lost. The same thing could be true of us, some of us here today. You are a moral person. You come to church. You don't cuss. You don't drink and get drunk. You don't steal or cheat. You don't smoke, do drugs, chase women, chase men. You have been baptized at an early age, and you belong to the church. By all appearances, you are as good or better than anyone around you. You got it going on. But the Lord knows the true condition. The Lord knows. You may fool others, but you cannot fool God. Here's why. The Bible tells me in the Old Testament, the Lord looks at the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Lord looks at the heart. You can be good, moral, and active in church and still be lost. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You may think that everything is all right between you and God, but you cannot trust what you feel in your heart. You can't trust your heart. The Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Only God truly knows our hearts. Let me pause here just to say this. It's not my intent to cause anyone to doubt their salvation today. So don't get me wrong when I say what I'm saying. It's not my intent to cause you to doubt your salvation. So what I'm saying is religion does not equal salvation and a true relationship with God. There's a lot of religious folk all around the world today, but religion does not equal salvation. Church membership does not equal conversion. Just being close to the things of God does not equal being saved by the grace of God. You see, being in a church does not make you a Christian. Salvation is accomplished by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, and John says, you must be born again. John 3, 3 and 7. So we also notice that this other brother, he had resentment. He was resentful. On his way home, after a long, hard day in the fields, the other brother hears some music and the sound of people celebrating as he gets near his father's house. I believe he is somewhat confused because there is no reason to celebrate anything at his father's house. He has lived there all his life and never recalls a reason for his family to celebrate anything or anyone. Kind of like the house I grew up in. So he calls a servant and asks the reason for all the noise and music. The servant says, your lost brother has returned home safe and sound, and your father has killed the fatted calf, cooked it, and is throwing a party. When he hears this, he becomes furious. He is angry and probably became red in the face. With the actions demonstrated here by the other brother, we can clearly see his resentment toward the father and his brother. In the other brother, we should be able to see some of the characteristics that trouble us. First of all, he did not love his younger brother. As the older brother, it was his responsibility to go after his missing brother, but he did not go. Our text would even suggest to us that he didn't even show up to say goodbye when his brother left the first time. Nowhere do we read that. So it just would imply that he didn't care. His actions indicate that he didn't care what happened to his younger brother. He didn't care that his younger brother had come home. In fact, he had already written him off and could care less what had happened to him. Have you ever written anyone off? He didn't love his father either. He was disrespectful to the father. He was resentful of the father's love for his brother. And he was self-serving. He was hateful. He was condescending. He may have been living at home and laboring for the father, but he did not love the father. His resentment is seen in his motives. When he hears why there was a celebration in the first place, what does he do? He gets angry and refuses to go in. His father comes out of the house to him, and he pleads with him to come inside. His reply to his father gives us a clear understanding of his heart's condition. Verse 29, when his father came out, he said to him, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order." You see, he reminds the father of his faithful service and then complains that he has never been given a feast for what he has done. Isn't that something? He did not care that his lost brother had come home. He did not care about the things which pleased the father. He should have known that the return of his brother back to the father was the greatest day in his father's life. The father killed the fatted calf, which was an expensive extravagance in that culture, where having meat at meals was considered a delicacy. He did not even care about the father. Evidently, he did what he did for what he could get out of it. You see, he saw his service to the father as slavery. He is saying, "All these years, I have been in bondage to you." He didn't serve the father out of love for the father, but out of a desire to help himself. The same attitude can be seen in the church. You see, some folk won't rejoice when sinners are saved because they feel threatened. We see the example of how Jonah became angry when the people of Nineveh turned to God in sackcloth and ashes. So we know if it happened in the Old Testament, it's happening today. They cannot get excited when the church grows because they see their hold on power slipping away. They don't care about God's will being done in the church if it runs counter to their personal agenda. You see, they want all the accolades, all the pats on the back, and all the glory. Their service in the church is not about God. It's about them. Some folk go through the motions of serving the Lord for what they think they will gain. When you see this kind of attitude on display, either you have a lost person masquerading as a saved person, or you have someone who is out of God's will. And his resentment is seen in his mentality. When you listen to the other brother speak to his father, you quickly realize that he's proud. He is proud, disrespectful. He's arrogant, and he's angry. Something is obviously wrong with this attitude. He should be overjoyed. His brother's back. He's not dead. He has received a lost son home. His brother's returned home safely. He should be rejoicing with the father. But instead, he pouts and complains. We discover the other brother's real problem in verse 30 when it says, the younger brother has spent his money on prostitutes and riotous living. When I first started studying this some years ago, I'm like, how did he know? How did he know what his brother was doing in a distant country? They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have text messaging. How did he know what his brother was doing? He has not talked to the father, and he has not talked to his brother. So how does he know? He is jealous. He may be at home in the body, but he is in the distant country in his heart. You see, my brothers and sisters, the other brother really wanted to live it up like his younger brother. He really wanted to do what his younger brother had done. He wanted to get out there and party and get him some prostitutes and spend some money too. But he was afraid to go and do that because of his pride. I mean, why would he say, yeah, your son, he took your money and spent it on prostitutes and parties and riotous living and drugs? No, I'm not coming in the house and celebrate. But he's angry because he wanted to do it in his heart. I believe he wanted to do that. So he gets mad that the one who did the very things he wants to do in his heart has been received by the Father. This is what was wrong with the scribes and Pharisees. They kept the letter of the law outwardly, but in their hearts, they lusted, they hated, and they longed for sin. You see, you don't have to be a drunk to be out of God's will. You don't have to be an adulterer to be in the distant country spiritually. You can serve your church, sing in the choir, preach the word, or anything else you want to name and still be out of God's will. You may look as good as anyone today, but you can have a heart that is filled with lust, evil thoughts, desires for sin, etc., you name it. Do you see it? You can pretend to be anything you wish outwardly, but it is the condition of the heart that matters. Matthew 15 tells us the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. When we get saved, God gives us a new heart, according to Ezekiel. His resentment is seen in his methods. The other brother failed to greet his father with a proper title. The younger brother greeted his father when he left and when he came back. The other brother just said, look, listen to me. That's disrespectful. When his father came out of the house, he did not handle his anger properly. He attacked, he criticized, and he blamed. You see, our outward actions are a mirror of what's going on in our hearts. You can say anything different if you want to, but what comes out of a man is what defiles him, right? Our outward actions are a mirror of what's going on in our hearts. Galatians says that the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Matthew 12, 35a. What does your heart say about you today? Watch out for folk who can only attack others, criticize, and place blame on everyone but themselves. That kind of person has some real spiritual issues. And then we notice his reaction. His father, he refused the father's plea. The father went out and pleaded with him, son. The father loved him and came outside to encourage this young man to come to the feast and to celebrate the return of his lost brother. Come on, son, your little brother is home. He was lost, and I thought he was dead, but he's home. Come on in. There are times when the Lord speaks to us as well. If we are saved, he will speak to us to encourage us or to confront the sin that is in our lives. If we are not saved, he speaks to us and calls us to repent of our sins and come to Jesus and be saved. Is he speaking to you today? If he is, please don't refuse his voice. do what he is pleading with you to do. We see also that he refused the father's promises. The father praised him for his efforts and reminded him that everything was already his. Isn't that something? Everything was already his. He was there. He had it. He had more than his brother, because as the older brother, he got a double portion or two-thirds of what the younger brother got. Everything was his. In effect, this father was saying, I value you and our relationship far more than I value your works. This son could have enjoyed fellowship with the father anytime he wanted to. But apparently, he was too wrapped up in his own legalism and narrow-mindedness to realize it. This son wanted what the father had, but he did not want the father, just like his younger brother. Even though he did not want the father, he did not want anyone else to have the father either. He didn't want the father, and he didn't want you and me to have the father. What a tragedy. The same thing is true in many lives today. You see, people want the church. They want to feel better about themselves, but they do not want an intimate relationship with the Father. You see, sometimes they resent those who do want a close relationship with the Lord. My mother used to sing a song when we were kids, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please. When, you know, she wanted the Lord. She wanted to walk closer with the Lord. Daily, I'll be walking close to thee. So let me remind you that you can just have just as much of a relationship with the Father as you want to, and you can have even more if you want to. Do you want that kind of relationship with God, the Father? I know I do. Then finally, he refused the Father's passion. The Father tells his son that it was necessary. It was necessary that they should have this celebration. The father was passionate about the younger son's return. You see, a lost person has been found. One considered dead was now alive again. There was much cause for rejoicing. The father wants the other brother to learn the truth that everything isn't about him and about him getting his own way. There are bigger issues at stake, and they should take priority. When you look at this chapter, from verse 1 all the way to 32, when you look at this chapter, everyone in this chapter is happy. If you read it, when you go home, read chapter 15. Everybody is happy. The shepherd is happy that he found his lost sheep. The woman is happy that she found her lost coin. The father is happy that his son that was lost has been found. All their friends are happy that they have found what was lost. The angels in heaven are happy. There is joy in heaven. The only person that is miserable here is the other brother. In the entire chapter, one person in the entire chapter is unhappy. He's miserable because he refuses to be happy. He has a choice. He could be happy and celebrate. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that turns to God. Angels, he was not better than the angel. The angels, there's joy in heaven over one person that comes back to God that was lost. One person, heaven rejoices, but this brother decided, I'm not going to be happy. The feast is there. All he has to do is go in and enjoy himself. Instead, he is standing out there pouting because he is not the center of attention and because he didn't get his way. What a shame. Know anybody like that? Don't raise your hand if it's you, unless it's you. If you will notice, this is an open-ended story. You see, did the other brother ever come into the feast with the father? We don't know. We don't know. And I think Jesus left it this way for a reason. See, we know what happened when the shepherd lost that one sheep. He left the 99 in the field and he went and got the one that was lost. We know what happened when the woman lost one of her 10 coins in the house. She turned on some lights and swept that house clean till she found that coin. But we don't know what happened to the other brother. His brother was lost and came home and the family had a party. But we don't know. I think Jesus left it this way for a reason. And here's what I believe that reason is. Every individual must write his or her own ending to this story. You see, for Israel, the story had a terrible end. The Lord Jesus presented himself to the nation as their long-awaited Messiah. He came to them as the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies. They knew who he claimed to be, but they refused to receive him as their Messiah, as their Lord, or as their Savior. In this story today, the other brother represents the religious leaders of Israel. They refuse to come to the feast. And in the end, they killed the father. They murdered him because they would not have him rule over them. You see, when Israel crucified their king, they murdered the father, and they wrote their own ending to the story. How will this story end for you that are here today? If you are lost today, come to Jesus for salvation. If you are saved but not where you need to be, you should get things right with God today. You see, there's a party going on, and you are invited. Don't stay outside listening to the celebration. Come on in and be a part of the party. The whole point of this parable is to show us the importance of souls that are lost. There's some lost folk out there today. And God wants us to point them to him. Not to me, not to you. God wants us to point the lost souls to Jesus Christ. In his word, he says, if I be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, when we lift him up by the way we live, he said, he will draw all men unto him. If we will lift up Jesus Christ and forget about the nonsense in our lives, he said, he will draw all men unto me. The importance of lost souls is what God wants us to see. And he wants us to point them to him. Let's bow our heads. If the Lord has spoke to you today, you just right where you are, just talk to him as we pray this prayer. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, just lift your hand and I'll pray. I don't even have to see who you are. Just lift your hand. If you know you're lost, we'll pray. If you're not what you should be, if you're like the other brother, lift your hand. God sees it and we'll pray for you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to call upon your name today. We thank you for your word, for helping us to see the other brother and his characteristics, his personality, and how he represents Israel. Father, we pray that if anyone here, they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, we pray that you would meet them today. We pray that you would save them and draw them unto yourself. Lord, and anyone that may have lifted their hand that is saved and not living and doing what you would have them to be, Lord, we pray that you would minister to them and forgive them and help them to get things right with you today. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Father, just bless your word. Help us to meditate on your word even as we leave this place. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and way in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.